The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Man in Line is open line today through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at maxradio.com. Yes, we're all getting ready for the traditional festival of Hot Tune Aid. And of course, it is Samhain. It is the festival of Samhain, the middle of autumn, as it were, preparing to get into the 31st and the 1st is Samhain. So, all ready for that tomorrow. Hope you're ready. Got your big bag of sweets to be giving away. Well, Timwell Committee says that taking away the Bishop of Ansodor and man's right to vote could prompt the Church of England to review the Isle of Man's diocesan status. Remember, this is all down to, was it Laurie Hooper introduced this private members bill about getting rid of or taking away the vote from the Bishop of Sodor and Man in Tynwald? And the Tynwald Committee, it was LegCo Select Committee on the Isle of Man Constitution Bill 2023. The Tynwald Committee's warned that taking away the vote of the Bishop and Sodor and Man within Tynwald could lead to the Church of England reconsidering whether the Isle of Man should have its own diocese, that is, the Diocese of Sodor and Man. And if it were taken away, that means the Isle of Man would just become part. At the moment, it's York, isn't it? The Archbishop of York appoints our bishop. And consequently, if that were taken away, it means that if any change to the Church of England happened in England, it would automatically just apply to the Isle of Man, whereas at the moment, any change to that has to go through Tynwald at the moment, so we'd lose that. There was a committee of three, which went down to two. Paul Crane was the chair. Rob Mercer was on there. And Bill Henderson. Mr. Henderson lost his seat in LegCo, so Paul and Rob continued to do it as a joint effort. I don't know whether you remember, there was a kind of petition about it. But as I say, the Archbishop of York has said that removing the vote, this is the Archbishop, the big boss, said that removing the vote would significantly undermine the case for maintaining a separate diocese of Sodor and Man, and suggested the question would likely to be revisited in any future church review. One possible outcome is that the absorption of the Isle of Man into an English diocese, there will mean no Manx bishop participating in Tynwald at all. So what they're hinting is that if the vote goes, the bishop goes, and there will be no bishop in Tynwald at the moment. I mean, the pitch was not to have the bishop to vote, although the current bishop of Sodor and Man, Trish the Bish, as she's known, the Right Reverend Patricia Hillis, told the committee that having a vote provides accountability and transparency by placing her decisions on the public record. And she warned that losing the vote will diminish the perceived importance of the role of the bishop, reducing both attendance and engagement. Obviously, if there's no vote, there's no point turning up. She insisted her interventions in Tynwald aren't limited to matters of religion, but often reflect moral or humanitarian considerations on behalf of people of all faiths and none. Well, that's going to be published fairly shortly, but that's hot off the press. The Select Committee talking about the political potential consequences of removing the bishop's vote within Tynwald. Any thoughts on that? By all means, do get in touch. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. The Isle of Man Post Office is planning to raise the cost of sending letters next year. Wow. And for the first time, there will be expiry dates or expiry dates could apply to stamps and postage labels. As part of a new business plan, the post office expects a surplus of about 2.9 million next year. Income is 23 million. Letter volumes are down by 11%, which, I mean, if you extrapolate that over 10 years, it's unsustainable. Letter volumes down 11%. Parcel traffic is up. Obviously, everybody's buying everything through Amazon and eBay and what have you, and they've got the contract. So the post office say price rises are needed to offset inflation and the continuing decline in mail. They're buying new sorting equipment, better parcel tracking, expanded doorstep collections, and also investing in electric vans. They want to up the fleet to as many as 70 electric vehicles by 2028, and are looking to install solar panels and new finance systems. Counter services, of course, are on everybody's mind, especially with the government withdrawing the MyCard system. Some counter services could change as the government schemes like MyCard disappear, and also vehicle licensing is set to move online by March next year. They're also exploring, get this, AI in a customer service setting. Not sure what it's going to look like. The post office said it will consult you before it makes any changes. Make of that what you will. But expiry dated stamps could be happening. So that means if you buy stamps, if you buy, at the moment you can buy a first class stamp, and when the price goes up, you still get it for the old price if you bought it before. It's a bit like a savings stamp. But that may go for the future. But 11% down. And just as an aside, are you planning to send Christmas cards this year? What is it, 90p for the Isle of Man? A pound per Christmas card elsewhere. I don't know how many Christmas cards you send, if you do. But, I mean, that is a substantial amount of money, isn't it? In terms of, I suppose it depends what your friends and relatives are worth. But if somebody's sending you a Christmas card, they must think the world of you to do that. Personally, I feel that the removal of Clause 5 will be a travesty, which would be felt across the Isle of Man. Long may it remain, says Will. This was about the Local Government Act that Tindall was talking about. Clause 5 regards taking away responsibility from local authorities. Thanks also to the... Oh, everybody's talking about the slock at the moment. Resurfacing on the slock isn't holding the gravel chippings. The cars and the cat's eyes are falling away. Is that so? And again, more people talking about Clause 5. I'd like to mention also that the smart feeder also allows the electric company to switch off your electricity without entering the house. Is this so? I mean, does that actually happen? Can the MUA turn off your electricity without coming in to disconnect you? If you fall into arrears, obviously, and you're a delinquent customer. So... I mean, lots of people kind of ascribe all sorts of... policies and conspiracies to what may happen with smart meters. Well, any thoughts on that? By all means, do get in touch. Regarding protruding hedges, the tenant or owner is responsible for keeping a protruding hedge in check. If there's a problem, the local authority can enforce it being cut back, or may do it for them. I recently had exactly this with a neighbour in the south, whose hedge had consumed the entire pavement. Arbury commissioners swiftly had them deal with it. But is this true, that the commissioners can do it for us? They can go, what do? Do they bill them if they cut the hedge back? If somebody refuses to cut the hedge back or has got a shrub that's taking up the pavement, I wonder what that... I was on the prom and observed police booking everybody parked opposite the War Memorial. This was the Michael Jackson concert, wasn't it? Or Michael Jackson tribute, as it were. I asked why they waited for the show to start and then booking everybody. Well... I mean, that you're not supposed to park there, are you? I mean, admittedly, it is a very large and tempting space. And given a few weeks' time, presumably, Douglas Council will be allowing everybody to park on the prom for Christmas time. Because, of course, they took away a lot of parking spaces when they did the prom. But at the moment, you can't. Peter said, Remembrance Day for the 11th of the 11th. What arrangements are Douglas City Council making for disabled parking this year? Last year, those spaces outside the villa were all blocked off. Well, the simple solution is open the walkway near the memorial. We don't know, but as soon as we do, we'll find out. Yesterday I was talking about standing for keys, not me standing for keys, but generally standing for keys next year. And I suppose it is, it's a big decision for anybody to decide to stand for keys. It's I'm always in complete awe of anybody who stands for keys. It's a lot of work. You put yourself out into the public domain. You're open to all sorts of criticism, praise as well, bouquets and brickbats. But if you're thinking about it, then I certainly wish you well. Expiry dates on mail, with the length of time it takes the Allemand Post to deliver, I think this is a joke. A recent letter I sent to Scotland took 9 days. It was sent on a Monday, Tam in Willesden. How on earth is somebody who believes in a mystical sky daddy seen as a good thing in modern society, says Terry. I think by mystical sky daddy you mean somebody who believes in a god. So I take it you don't, Terry. Regarding the position of the bishop, 223 says, can any listeners recall what the bishop has previously voted on regarding the position of supporting gambling and gaming on the Isle of Man? The bishop's vote must stay, says 068. It's just another erosion of our culture and our history for the sake of it. This is a Christian country. Also, it's easy legislation and takes time away from important issues, says 068. On a practical level, thank you, 068. On a practical level, do you visit church? Do you, I mean, this is you personally, I'm asking, do you go to church? Do you consider yourself a Christian? I mean, a practicing Christian, or just somebody who upholds a tradition? You know, you go to weddings, you go to funerals, you go into a sacred surrounding, as it were. So do you think this really affects the Isle of Man? And obviously, I mean, the hint is from the Bishop of York that if our bishop loses a vote in Tynwald, we're on a slippery slope just to getting an off-island bishop, somebody who kind of just comes here and there, maybe Tynwald Day. What would that do? Regarding smart meters, Gaz313 says they can be used to implement peak and off-peak charges. Is that so? Gaz, you know about, you work for the MUA, Gaz, do you know all about this? Postal deliveries no longer deliver to the address on the envelope. Not at Snaefell Road Flats, they don't. Since they all got the vans, the standard has dropped, Tam. You've what's been not delivered. And 854 says, this is anonymous 854, who intimates there is no place for religion in government. I don't quite know what you mean by that. Do you mean people who have a religious feeling don't belong in government? Or what do you mean specifically? What do you mean, no religion in government? I mean, obviously, they say prayers in government. The Keys and Tynwald say prayers. And why is Snaefell Road getting singled out? By all means, get in touch. Do you know about fishing and smishing and vishing? Smishing and vishing, do you know all about that? They're terms for different ways people are being scammed nowadays. According to the Isle of Man Constabulary figures, in 2024, over 20 million of financial losses were reported to the police through fraud on the Isle of Man. More than 9,000 emails were reported to the Suspicious Email Reporting Service. 497 cyber concerns were raised. Now, I don't know whether you've been subject to this, whether somebody's tried to scam you or fish you or smish you or vish you. The Eastern Neighbourhood Policing Team, alongside the Cyber Security Centre, have been delivering talks to elderly people, vulnerable people, to raise awareness of common cyber security threats. Now, this can happen at any time and it can be devastating. It can absolutely disable your computer, your laptop or your tablet. And even worse, it could end up emptying your bank account. Sam Hudson, you'll hear from the Cyber Security Centre, and PC Shona Hardman from the Constabulary.
Now, I get quite a lot of emails from retailers because I do a lot of shopping. When I get too many emails, I like to unsubscribe from those emails. What they're doing is they'll encrypt the link within the unsubscribe button. So your average link will be blue, writing and underlined, like that's your generic link. Now they're like making it in the unsubscribe button. So you'd click unsubscribe and it'll take you to malicious link. So the advice we're giving out to people is don't click on any contents within because you don't know where there might be a hidden link.
The best thing to do is to disregard the email. And if the email does seem particularly important, it's to get in touch with the business or organization.
You said you rather send the emails to the junk folder and then delete it from there.
A lot of people, when they see a bogus email, they think the best thing is to block the email that's going to block that specific email address. But a scammer is only going to use a particular email address for a short period of time. The best thing is to mark it as junk. So what that does is if the button is pressed, which might be report spam or report junk, that'll move it to the junk folder. It should also train the spam filter. That means that if anything comes in the future, it's more likely to only appear in the junk folder where it needn't be seen.
A lot of us love shopping online. As you said, it's actually safer when you check out as a guest as opposed to actually filling out and logging in on your profile. How come?
If you go through a guest checkout, you're supplying less information and also doing it under a scenario where that's not necessarily going to be kept in the same way. Whereas if you create an account, it's a permanent record that the company's keeping. So what you're doing there is you're reducing the risks to yourself of there potentially being a data breach of that company where a hacker might obtain those details from that company. If the company holds fewer details for you, then that reduces the risk to you in the future.
How concerned should we be with, AI?
It's only going to develop more and it's going to become more sophisticated.
The full potential and capabilities of AI are something which are as yet unknown. But, I mean, what we can see is that it's quite easy for AI to be used to make a much better looking email. So rather than the phishing emails of the past which had mistakes, that's not necessarily going to be the case in the future because AI is being used to mimic human behaviour.
Well, AI is the key, as you heard Sam Hudson from the Cybersecurity Centre. And if all your documentation, if your bank account, if your banking app and everything is on your smart device, these new scamming, phishing, smishing, vishing emails can get to the bottom of all that. I mean, it's very easy to dismiss this sort of thing. However, your money can disappear. Your money can just go. If you click on a wrong link, suddenly they're into your machines, they're into your devices, and all sorts of things can happen. I mean, literally within minutes, all your money can disappear. So it's worth, if you are invited to one of those Eastern Neighbourhood Policing Team talks, then I would advise you just to pop along and just to, I mean, the easy remembering thing is, don't click on anything that you don't recognise. Don't click on anything. We've moved on from the Nigerian prince's days, haven't we? And the I've won $35 million in the Brazilian lottery. All that sort of stuff. That's moved on. It's just worth being aware because it'll be a bit too late if it all disappears. My smart meter, newly installed, showed my next bill is 500 units more than the last 2 years' bills. Everybody, check your first bill once installed and compare the previous year's usage. Seemed very odd to me, says 382. Thank the Lord I don't have the internet, says Liz D. Thank you, Liz. It's a lifestyle. I'm not sure it's a sustainable lifestyle, but there we are. Julian's with us now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Listening to the price of sending letters across and stuff, or even on the island, is going to go up again. Yet at the same time, they want to put 70 electric vehicle vans on the postal delivery runs.
Yeah.
Well, they're much more expensive to buy. The depreciation is terrible. Apparently, they're losing three quarters of their value within the first 3 years. especially as they're high usage and charged, or you know, they're charged regularly, so the batteries are getting, you know, a lot more cycles than a domestic vehicle of EV would.
Yeah.
So you're getting shorter lifespan. The insurance is higher, and if you damage the underside of it, it's going to have to go across, because I don't think there's anyone registered on the island that's able to fix an EV battery that's been damaged.
Somebody sent a message in, Julian, just to say that they think the reason that the post office have become born-again EV users is purely because, have they got the Amazon contract? Has the post office got the Amazon contract?
Probably. Well, I don't know.
What I'm saying
I
is,
do have
to... if they do have it, I'm guessing, and this, it was from Doug who just said, it's probably an Amazon worldwide policy that all delivery companies have to be committed to EV vehicles. It sounds like something that will come down from Jeff Bezos. So basically, if you get the contract for Amazon or whoever it is, whichever company it is, that you have to have EV, because this is a bit of a rush for it. Maybe Stu Peters will get an EV for himself as well.
Well, we don't know. I mean, you know, it's not just the vehicle as well. You've got to put the chargers in as well. So let's suppose it was 70. Probably a few. Maybe they've got a few now, but there is roughly £8,000 to install a charger, and that's not a particularly fast one. So you're looking at over $500,000 just in the charges. And then they're telling us that they have to put the price of the letters up. And they're throwing... I mean, if you get a diesel van, how much longer is that going to last?
Oh, well, they go forever,
you know,
don't they?
Yeah. I mean, you know, some of the existing diesel vans, I mean, they do need replacing. But if you can buy it for significantly cheaper and it's going to last 3 to 4 times longer, especially if you get them serviced right... and you haven't got to blow something like 560 to 600,000 quid on charging infrastructure. And that's not including the taxpayers' money that's going to have to go digging the roads up to put the extra 3 phase in to handle all that draw from wherever the post office vans are being stored and charged.
Well, that's interesting. As you say, where are the post office vans kept at the moment? I'm just trying to think. Are they kept up at the Cool Road up there, or where?
Well, they might have some ready to go. I mean, they've obviously got to go to the sorting offices to pick up the post, so they've got to start off somewhere. And I've heard anecdotal evidence that some of the those NV200s, I think they are, the electric vans they've got already, they haven't had them that long. And when they set off, say, from the sorting office, they start off showing 80 miles of range. And just getting down to, say, Castletown, it's already knocked about 35 miles off the range. So clearly the batteries are suffering.
Well, we'll soon find out, because if suddenly red vans start breaking down, and remember, there's no freewheeling, there's no neutral gear in an electric vehicle. Once they stop, and that's it. You can't move the darn things short of lifting them or charging where they are.
That's right. And also, I think some of the new ones are white, aren't they? I think some of the new postal vans that are electric, I think. So have to keep your eyes open.
Okay. All right, Julian, we appreciate
it.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
Andy.
And a notice also from Barry, who just said, well, if the amount of letters posted on the island, and if letter traffic is down 11% in 1 year, I think you're being very generous to say within 10 years, that side of the business will be gone completely, because an 11% decrease year on year. Wow. Desmond says, Andy, religion was once a way of controlling the poor people of the world. Now we've got climate change. Is climate change a religion? I don't know. I just wonder what you think of that. I think we've got Peter with us now. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murcott here. You can probably guess what I'm going to talk about. I'd missed the opening part of the programme today. Do I understand that the Select Committee of the Legislative Council on the Bishop has reported?
They have, yes. They've outlined the potential consequences of removing the Bishop's vote. There's no recommendation. They set out the implications, but they deliberately made no recommendation, but they present the findings basically to make it. As you say, you know, it's all about the constitutional bill when that goes back to LegCo.
Right. And when was that published?
Oh, right now. It's hot off the press. I think it'll be in our 1 o'clock news. But
all right.
I think it'll be on the website fairly shortly, but I got it hot off the press.
Right. Okay. Just one or two things here. First of all, I mean, obviously, I haven't seen this report and what they've said. Bishop Robert Patterson made a very useful comment some years ago, and it underlined the fact of the absurdity of bringing this whole subject up yet again and wasting parliamentary time on it. He said, I think back in 2017, that there ought to be, or he put forward the possibility of bishops having the right to abstain, because he said that there are at the time quite a number of things on which he hadn't really got an opinion either way, and yet he was required to vote. Now, I don't think that's ever been taken up, and I think that was an eminently sensible suggestion, that and it would take some of the heat, and there's more heat than light in this discussion, it would take some of the heat out of it if the bishop had that option. That's the first thing. So there have been recommendations on the table before, and they haven't been followed, which shows the absurdity of bringing it all up yet again. The second thing is, with reference to the question about religion has nothing to do with government, that's a very interesting one. Actually, if you read Romans 13, 1 to 3, it makes it quite clear. It says that the powers that be, that's where that expression came from, the powers that be are ordained of God. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The presence of the bishop, in my view, is a reminder of that, that they cannot just do as they like, or as the idea gained currency in the 19th century, they can make and unmake any law that they wish. When you look at the whole institution of government, the whole institution of government is to promote that which is good and to prevent that which is evil. And the presence of the bishop is a necessary reminder of that. I know it will be unacceptable for those people who don't have any belief at all, or who are very hostile to the Christian faith, but that happens to be the reality. The third thing, just answer to your question, you did throw out, you just throw out a rhetorical question here about climate change. It is a religion, actually. It's become a sort of new false religion that's come along. And false religions and new religions are always very, very troublesome indeed. And that's why we've got constant problems with that, with the whole climate change. We've got other new false religions, but that's certainly one. They use sort of almost transcendental language. They talk about our carbon footprint. Now, that is a sort of mysticism, and they've got their own mysticism with it. It's an absurd phrase about our carbon footprint, but it does point to the fact that it is a new false religion. So, coming back to the question of the bishop, subject really didn't need to be brought up in the first place. I remember Bill Henderson, for whom I've always had high regard. Bill Henderson was very cross when that came up. He said, when the question reached the Legislative Council, what on earth, why are we discussing this again? It's come up time and time again. And he was quite rightly very irritated that valuable parliamentary time was being spent on something which had been examined time and time again. So really, I'm sorry to say, we've had more waste of parliamentary time. The question is, in any event, what difference, effectively, if you look on the political thing, on the voting system, LegCo cannot veto legislation, it can only delay it under the Constitution Act 2006, and it's only happened once since then, and it was nothing to do with the bishop on that occasion. And the second thing is that, I mean, like in Tynwald, if LegCo votes against some order that's going through Tynwald, they can bring it back the next at the next session and have a combined vote, and invariably the combined vote will send it the way that perhaps the Keys wanted it in the first place. So it isn't as if it's as if the bishop is going to be vetoing legislation or being party to vetoing legislation. It's far from that. I think we've wasted a lot of time.
Peter, do you see, I mean, the fact that this was introduced, obviously Mr. Hooper brought this in. It's also been mentioned, the fact that prayers are optional now.
Oh, yeah.
An increasing secularisation, and the fact that certain people, as you say, become hostile to the Christian faith and become hostile to its implications. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know, but they probably don't really know. I venture to say that in many cases they don't know what they're talking about. If they really understood the Christian faith, they would know that for a start, you cannot force a person to be a Christian. You can't indoctrinate someone. Do you know, 20 years ago, when I was on the, I stood for election, and people knew where I was coming from. And I remember going to a place where the person who greeted me said, "I don't like religious people. I don't like religion." You know, started on straight like that. And I said, "No, I don't really. I'm not too keen on religion." But I said, "There's a difference between pushing religion and the Christian faith. Christian faith is a unique faith. And when you're talking about religion as opposed to Christianity, you tend to have undertones of wanting to force people and compel people to do certain things. And there are plenty of those religions around. Now, come back to the climate change. I don't like that one. But there we are. So
okay.
I really think this has been a non-debate. Lot of waste of time on this debate. And it's a pity it ever brought up. And I just hope that it can be, quite frankly, just silenced now and left alone. But constitutionally, they've probably got to go ahead, or they would either have to do that or delay the bill for a year, and then we might get a more sensible attitude in the next House of Keys that just won't bring the bill back. I don't know. That would be the most sensible thing, if they just throw the bill out for now and wait and see what the next House of Keys is like.
Okay. All right, Peter, we appreciate
it. Okay,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling
Bye-bye.
Today. Good to hear from you. Simon said the post office don't decide on van purchases based on resale value. Is that true? I had a smart meter fitted. On the app, it's only an estimate because you only just had it fitted. After 12 months, you can see your other bills listed. A lady of the electricity board explained how the app works, says June. MUA. I know it's nice to call it the electricity board, isn't it? I received an email from Douglas Corporation yesterday informing me their intentions to start installing solar panels and battery storage and a new roof. Start of spring 2026, says Colin 807. Delivery vans don't drive from the sorting office to Castletown. Is that so? Says Paul. So where are they? Are they? Because there was a big depot at Ronald's Way, wasn't there? The industrial estate there. I just wonder how many vans they've got. But if they're getting 70 electric vans, maybe they could use old milk floats with the lead acid ones. They went for years, didn't they? Correct me if I'm wrong, says 925, but the post office are putting in a diesel generator to charge the electric vehicles. That can't be true, can it, 925? Marks and Spencer, says James, have increased everything in their store by amounts varying from 25p up to £1.25. Guess who's paying for their store refurbishment? The customers, obviously. They shouldn't be allowed to do this practice. Says James, well, there's nothing you can do about it, to be quite honest. If people put their prices up, you have the choice to either shop there or not shop there. I drive along the promenade daily, says Tony, and to see how it is, some of the crossings are sinking and the potholes along the whole length. It is disappointing what we've done to our seafronts, and we've lost all the parking spaces. Well, lots and lots of parking spaces as well. We now have enormous pavements, and we still only have a halfway horse tram. Will the horse trams ever come back, do you think? Do you care? 223. We are talked many times about the overspend and poor quality of the work on government funded works. I'd like to point out that the government legislation states only that contractors approved and registered with MACS, M-A-C-C-S, MACS will chase contractors to join and pay a subscription of £100 per annum. Is this true? Once they have you registered, they don't police contractors, and it's the same for government. I'm a skilled approved contractor. Departmental managers will use contractors for works that don't comply with legislation. Most of the time, this leads to poor quality and over costs on jobs where taxpayers have to pay for it. The PROM's a good example. If you complain to MACS, which is run by the big contractors, you will get blacklisted. Well, just give us a bit more information about this, as to what this is. Carbon footprint can be proven, says 653. A god cannot, says 6. I take it you're not a believer. Thank you. High-use EV vehicles are worthless, says Alan. After 4 years, not even any scrap value. We worked in the motor trade, so we know our facts, says Alan. Well, it depends who you believe, doesn't it? And certainly electric vehicles, certainly the post office is going to be using an awful lot more of electric vehicles. Whether or not that's because the people that they've got contracts with insist on it. And it's fair to assume that for worldwide compliance, places like Amazon may insist on electric vehicles. It's hard to feel sorry for the post office having to spend £500,000 on electric vans when they made £4 million profit last year. Why not order your Christmas cards off Amazon Prime with free postage and set the delivery address to your friends and relatives' homes? Now, if what you're saying about this is true regarding Amazon forcing delivery companies to only to use electric vehicles, we on the island should say tough on them, and it will be an opportunity for more shops in the high street. Thank you. Text, email, call, WhatsApp.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
There is a charity on Ireland where you can talk in confidence about your or someone you care about's relationship with alcohol, drugs, gambling or gaming. Motivate Addiction Services are here to help with free confidential one-to-one and group support. To find out more or to support Motivate through fundraising or donations, go to motivate.im. That's M-O-T-I-V and the number 8.im.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Dear Santa, this Christmas I would like more customers and more sales, please. I have been very good.
There are more reliable ways to make sure your business gets what it needs this winter. At Manx Radio, we'll create tailor-made advertising solutions to get you the results you want over the festive season and into the new year. Call our friendly sales team now on 682620 and give your business a really happy Christmas and New Year with the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Can I have a new bike too?
No, buy your own.
Oh!
Tis the season to be jolly at the Manin Hotel. This December, celebrate with friends and family at one of our fabulous festive lunches. Three courses, just £35, with mince pies and tea or coffee included. Whether a cosy catch-up for two or a larger group gathering, just get in touch and the Manin will arrange the perfect booking for you. Call 602-555 or make an inquiry at maninhotel.im. You really do get more from the Manin this Christmas.
Radio Sport.
On a run of three games unbeaten for the first time this season, can FC Isle of Man add to that tally in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend? The Ravens return to the ball this Saturday, hoping to maintain their recent uplift in form, with Longridge Town set to be their latest visitors. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Isle of Man versus Longridge Town, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Unbelievers do not need religion to be moral and to make balanced decisions. Quoting from the Bible is irrelevant to the law, says H, and those with different or no religious beliefs. You won't read this, says H. 100% true, says 269. A diesel generator is used to charge the electric points that in turn charge the vans. Is that true? Here's Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi Andy. Sorry, there's a bit of background noise. I'm just walking through Strand Street. I think it'd be very quiet. It's absolutely shocker down here, which is great to see. Yeah, it was just a quick one, Peter. I think Peter's, you know, completely agree with what he says. I'm not religious. I was dragged to church as a young man up until the age of 11. And but I think it's. I hope the bishop conversation never comes up again in Tynwald. And I think, you know, one way to make Tynwald far more productive is simply don't vote Laurie Hooper in next year, because there's so much time has been wasted on that subject. You know, it's Christianity, under, even if you don't go to church, underpins most of the things we do, whether it's Christmas, whether it's burying a friend, and I see nothing wrong with it whatsoever. So I really hope it never comes up again in Tynwald, and if it does, I think it'd be absolute shame. That's all I've got to say, Andy, really.
Okay, just, all right. What are you buying in Strand Street, by the way, Mark?
I'm meeting my wife for a coffee, to tell you the truth. I'm on holiday this weekend, so right. I don't really do shopping. So okay. There you go. Right. Take care, cheers.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Here's a message from Ollie, who just said, all this navel-gazing over the bishop, surely we all admit that we live in a Christian society. Whether or not you're a Bible basher, an occasional Christian church visitor, or you go every Sunday, surely we all agree that we live in a Christian society. Why are we spending time and parliamentary money on something like this? I've looked for my carbon footprint everywhere, said Desmond, but I can't see it anywhere. You have to have faith. I've got a battery-powered strimmer, and I've had one for over 20 years. It hasn't burst into flames, yet my battery-powered Hoover still hasn't burst into flames. Hoovering like a good'un, says 272. Yes, but it doesn't trundle about 2 tons along the road, does it? Interesting to see. Why do you keep saying, is that true today? Well, I want to know. Everybody seeks the truth, don't they? Thank you, 747. Is that true? In recent years, senior government officers seem to have gained a deputy. Yet performance doesn't seem to have improved with more leadership resources, says Gaz. Well, we'll see, won't we? And certainly we'll see in the next year. Also, hello to Gail, who just said, we've still got this problem with people talking at the Gaiety Theatre and the Villa Marina. Does it happen elsewhere? Everybody's very well behaved at the Centenary Centre and the Erin Arts Centre. Is it just the Gaiety? Is it just the Villa Marina? The new beer and alcohol policy at the Gaiety is called causing this problem. I think the bars should be closed during performances, both at the Villa and the Gaiety, says this texter. Well, they'd lose an awful lot of money, wouldn't they? I mean, they'd lose a fortune because of the amount of booze and stuff that people buy. But and the other one is noisy sweet bags. Surely, if people have got noisy sweet bags, they should just... But how can you get a sweet out of a noisy bag? That's the problem, isn't it? Once you notice a noisy sweet wrapper, you can't unnotice it. I was next to somebody, says this, it was Sue, just said the bag that was so noisy that every time she opened it, people were looking her way, but she was oblivious. I asked my husband to say not to say anything because we didn't want to cause a fuss. So please, it's just good manners, consideration for other people. After all, it's not cheap to go to the theatre. So I think it's a good idea to ask people at the beginning of the show. We shouldn't have to, but it would definitely help. So at the start of every show, we should ask, has anybody got a noisy sweet bag? Because if you have a noisy sweet bag, can you kindly not open it? Or open the sweets before, if you like, just have them in your hand, melting. You asked recently about VAT on pasties. As a confectioner, when we sold a warmed-up pasty, we had to charge an additional 20%. But if a hot pasty was sold straight from the oven, no extra cost, same as a cold pasty. It's confusing for customers, let alone the shop staff. So if a cold pasty is warmed up, you have to charge an extra 20% because you've warmed it. But if you buy a hot pasty that sold straight from the oven, there was no extra cost. Did you understand that?
EVF, fueling the island and fueling you. With a great range of fresh foods and everyday essentials at our filling stations. And always great offers too. Ellen Vannin Fuels.
Need help with your business finances? Nicola Bowker & Co. has helped hundreds of businesses achieve a firm financial footing. Here to guide you to financial success. Contact Nicola Bowker, accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
Ocean Views is the perfect venue for your Christmas party. Whether small groups of family and friends or corporate bookings, Ocean Views can cater for parties of up to 120 people. With excellent choices on food, from a delicious one, two or three course Christmas feast available from the 28th of November to your favourite non-festive dishes from the chef's seasonal menu, with free parking and wheelchair access. See the menus and book now for Christmas. Find Ocean Views on Facebook or at oceanviews.im.
Don't miss 80s Live at the Villa Marina on Friday the 31st of October. It's the ultimate retro concert. Featuring the hits of Wham, Madness, Madonna, Rick Astley, plus Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, The Human League and many more unforgettable hits. With a sensational cast and live band, this is the 80s party show you've been waiting for. So dress to impress for a night to remember. Get your tickets for 80s Live now. Call the box office on 600-555 or book online at villagaiety.com.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 8 minutes before one. Out of hours, by the way. You want to get in touch, we've got the answer phone on 682-631. It's on all the time, 23 hours a day. And you can email out of hours at maninline@manxradio.com. I was listening, it says text to 467 recently, when Wolf was talking about the sewers. I worked in the sewers for a number of years, and everything Wolf said is absolutely true. And regarding the minimum wage, a note in from 450 says, the increase in the minimum wage without first adjusting tax and NI thresholds is just a cynical way of broadening the scope of government revenue at the expense of the small businesses under the guise of helping the nation's poorest. It is obvious basic mathematics, and everybody sees it. Well, you see it, certainly. Thank you for that. Losing the bishop will be unfortunate, says 817, Jerry the Prez, but getting Stu Peters into an EV as a self-confessed petrol head would mark the end of civilization. Says that. Here's Jane with us now. Hi, Jane.
Oh, hello. I just wondered if some of your listeners are aware of this. I send 50 Christmas cards a year at least, and I buy them from the company that advertises in the Examiner quite often. They're in Nottingham, and they sell them at a much lower rate, the stamps.
Oh, yeah, they're the old stamps, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, but if there's going to be an end date for to be able to use the stamps, which is what the post office are doing, then I might not be able to use any of these £50
well,
worth of
they've not, they've not, at the moment they're saying that any new stamps will have a sell-by date on them or an end date. They're not saying at the moment. I mean, they've intimated in the past, because I know this company in Nottingham sells, they must have millions of the darn things, and I know plenty of people on the Isle of Man, so lots of businesses on the Isle of Man use those stamps, so they're perfectly legal currency at the moment, right. But we'll say, and obviously it's a way of saving money.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Especially, I do write a lot of letters as well, and but you know, I just thought, well, it's a bit wary now getting them, not knowing what the post office is going to do next about it, because they'll have spotted it, won't they?
Well, they've been looking at it for years, and obviously, I think they're concerned about losing money. But I mean, the fact is, you're I'm sorry to tell you, Jane, you're part of a dying breed. People who send lots of, I mean, I love sending Christmas cards. It gets me in touch with people I don't speak to from year to year. And obviously you get Christmas cards back, but lots of people don't. And then you get the people who say, I'm not sending Christmas cards this year, I'm giving £5 to charity or something like that, and sending an email, which is not quite the same.
I'm the same as you. I like sending them, and I hear from people that I haven't heard from for a year, which is lovely because I've moved about an awful lot. So I've got people all over the UK as well as on the Isle of Man. And I just find it makes Christmas to have these cards from old friends.
When are you starting writing your Christmas cards, Jane? Have you done it yet?
Oh no! I probably this beginning of December. I do a little bit at a time.
Right. Okay. And you send 50 a year.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jane.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. They could stop selling noisy sweet items. That's 382. That would solve the problem. You can't unhear it, can you, when there's somebody one seat or in front or behind you has got a big bag of something that's got... And is it nowadays that the plastic isn't quite as soft as it used to be? It's very crackly. So you get somebody with whatever it is, Smarties or Maltesers. And the worst is when the person behind you spills the Maltesers and they go rolling down the seats. That's always fun, isn't it? I put my sweets in a zippy bag before I leave the home. Guaranteed absolutely no noise. It's true. H said, I don't agree we live in a Christian society. And 768. Well, we know H doesn't agree we live in a Christian society. Do you ever go to a wedding? Do you go to a funeral? Do you go to a midnight mass? If you drop something, do you say, oh, jeepers? I watched that Tyndall video about the budgeting that Jed Power talked about yesterday. The senior Treasury officer has a deputy, yet budgeting still needs external audit input. Does every civil servant need a consultant? That's it. Thanks to Alex on the phone today. Good old Lexi. Back tomorrow at high noon. WINT.